You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
This week, the Commission of Inquiry into the Meher Arar case came out with its second and final report. In this report, Justice Dennis O'Connor makes recommendations for changes to the watchdog bodies that oversee all Canadian security operations. Thomas Walkham is a columnist with the Toronto Star newspaper. I spoke with him yesterday about the O'Connor report and what it means for both the RCMP and CSIS. I began by asking him what changes Justice O'Connor is recommending for the RCMP.
He's recommending he calls it a review body, that would have the authority to look into not only specific complaints about the Mounties from citizens, but to look into matters on its own. For example, if this body had existed around the time that Arar was first arrested, it could have instituted an immediate inquiry into, okay, what kind of information do we give to the Americans? What information did we give to the Americans about Meher Arar? And how was it that this Canadian citizen was picked up in New York and deported not to Canada but to another country, to Syria? So it could have done, a body like this, in fact, could have done some of the work that the O'Connor inquiry itself ended up doing. And that's one of the things that O'Connor says is useful. He wants this body to have real authority, the power to subpoena witnesses and the power to look at anything that it wants to. In other words, the same power that a real judicial inquiry has, the power that O'Connor had. There is already a complaints commission for the RCMP, but it's pretty toothless. It can ask the RCMP for information, and if the RCMP doesn't want to give it won't. So O'Connor is really suggesting that this be beefed up in a very serious way. And oddly enough, there are a whole lot of security agencies in Canada, some of which most of us have never heard of. Immigration Department has its own security service. The Transport Department has its own security service. Foreign Affairs has its own security service. So O'Connor wants all of these to be under one review body or another. There's already one set up for CSIS, which is the spook agency, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. See, and over top of this will be some kind of super committee that will make sure that nothing falls between the cracks. So that's the essence of the O'Connor recommendations.
Does he comment on the national security role that the RCMP has taken on since 9/11?
He does. He goes into the history of that. Come September 11th, 2001, the federal government passed a sweeping anti-terror bill, which criminalized a whole bunch of things that hadn't been criminal before, involving terrorism. And that brought the Mounties full bore back into the intelligence and counterintelligence game, because now almost anything you do, if you park your car illegally and it's deemed to benefit a potential terrorist act, even if you're not you personally are not aware of that act is going to be committed, you could be charged with a terrorism offense. So the real sweep of the anti-terror legislation really brought the Mounties back four square into the intelligence game. So what O'Connor is saying in his report is, okay, I understand all of this, and I understand that the Mounties have to be involved at some level insofar as it involves criminal offenses. Nonetheless, we have to be very clear about the distinctions, and that the RCMP should concentrate more than they have on bringing suspected criminals to trial, bringing evidence that can be used against suspected criminals in court, and really leave the pure intelligence matters to CSIS, who at some level are better equipped to deal with it. So that was his general recommendation, I think, but he didn't make any specific recommendations how to do this.
Now, you wrote earlier this month that Giuliano Zaccardelli was right to resign as RCMP commissioner, but he quit for the wrong reasons. Why did you say that?
Well, Zaccardelli quit because he'd been caught essentially telling contradictory stories to a committee of parliament. And my own feeling is that Zaccardelli's real problem was that he was in charge of the Mounties during the Arar affair, when so many of these egregious acts were committed by the RCMP against against Arar. And they're all outlined in O'Connor's report. The most egregious probably is the RCMP's listing of Arar and his wife, and I believe their baby child, as Islamic extremists and linked to Al-Qaeda, and telling the Americans that. When there was no evidence, when that in fact was incorrect and there was no evidence to even remotely make that case. And as O'Connor concluded, that it was this designation more than anything else that caused the Americans to pull Arar off the plane at Kennedy Airport in New York City in 2002 and arrest him and send him to be tortured in Syria. It was because of the way he'd been designated by the RCMP. And that's a big, let's face it, that's a big mistake. This guy spent a year in a hole in Syria. And if you believe that people have to, that bosses have to take some kind of responsibility for their organization, I think Zaccardelli has to take responsibility for what was either malevolence or incompetence on the part of the RCMP. So my view is that he should have resigned over that. Instead, he was caught up, in effect, in telling two contradictory stories to a parliamentary committee. So he got nicked for telling contradictory stories. He should have been nicked for being in charge of the Mounties during the whole Arar debacle.
This week, Stockwell Day announced a new inquiry under retired Supreme Court Justice Frank Iacobucci. What's he going to be looking at?
Okay, Iacobucci is supposed to be looking into the case of three other Canadian citizens who also happen to be Muslims, all of whom were tortured in Syria around the same time. And there were suggestions, although it wasn't O'Connor's mandate to get into this, there were very real suggestions that their plight, the plight of these three men, was also linked to the activities of Canadian security agencies, particularly the RCMP and CSIS. And in fact, in the case of one, a man called Abdullah Al-Malki was in jail being tortured in Syria. The Mounties actually sent questions to his Syrian torturers to say, well, you know, could you ask him this? And that's all in the O'Connor report on Arar. So what O'Connor said, well, look, I can't get into the case of these three guys because my mandate is to look at Arar. But there's more to be done here, and I recommend a separate kind of a new inquiry into the case of these three individuals, which is what the government set up under Frank Iacobucci, who's a former Supreme Court justice. And the importance of this one, I think, will be to determine whether Arar was an anomaly or whether there was a real pattern, because there are very strong suggestions that Arar was not an isolated case, that in fact the RCMP or CSIS or both of them had a kind of arrangement with some of these countries that, well, hey, if you get your hands on somebody that we're suspicious of, we'll give you information about him. You do whatever you want. You use your own methods to extract some more information, and you tell us the results, i.e. you torture him a bit, and you tell us what comes up. If that's the case, that's actually going to be quite damning. So that's the importance of the Iacobucci inquiry.
In your column this week, you write about the case of a journalist that you heard about from Shirley Heafy. Now, she's the former chair of the RCMP's Public Complaints Commission and a member of the CSIS Oversight Committee. Can you tell us that story?
The CSIS was first set up. It had its own review body called the Security Intelligence Review Committee, and it was to do for CSIS what new organization that O'Connor wants is supposed to do for the RCMP. In other words, it was supposed to review what CSIS did and see whether CSIS agents were following the rules. So Shirley Heafy was hired on as an investigator by the Security Intelligence Review Commission in 1984, and her job was to look at CSIS cases and just go through them. And she had the authority to do that. She could go and say, okay, you know, open your files, show me all the people you want deported, or show me all the people you've done security clearances on, or whatever. And her job was to go through and figure out whether the agents were following the rules that they were supposed to be following. So she ran across one case where this guy had been under surveillance for 25 years, for a quarter of a century. And she tried to find out, well, why has this guy been under surveillance for 25 years? And there was very little information. It appeared that he'd been put under surveillance 25 years earlier because he'd once written an article in a journal that had been reprinted in a publication in Cuba. So that was enough, I guess, to get him on the list, if you like, as someone worth watching. And they just kept watching him. For 25 years, they've been bugging his house, and they've been bugging his office, and they've been bugging his car. They never found anything, and there's never really been anything more about him other than that he had once written an article that had once been reprinted in a Cuban publication, which would have been kind of laughable, I guess, except that he was about to be deported because his requests for Canadian citizenship had been turned down for security reasons. Because of Heafy's report on this, CSIS flipped around and changed its security designation, so this guy got his Canadian citizenship and he wasn't deported. The reason she told that anecdote was to illustrate how easy it is to get, once you get on the books as a subversive, it's very easy to get on, it's very hard to get off. And once you're on, all kinds of things can happen to you.
What are the chances of the recommendations being implemented by the government?
I think actually there's a pretty good chance. I mean, a lot of it depends on timing and how long this government's going to last. But see, the Tories, the Harper government has, to them, this is all something that happened under the Liberal watch. So they have no political interest, particularly in stonewalling O'Connor. In fact, they have every political interest in implementing his recommendations to show how much more in tune with human rights they are than the former government was. I mean, that's the politics of it. The difficulty, of course, is, you know, what's sometimes called the permanent government in Ottawa, the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy of the RCMP, the bureaucracy of CSIS, and the other departments involved. And they may not necessarily want to have that kind of oversight. So my guess is what you'll see is a lot of resistance at the bureaucratic level to doing this in the hope of ragging the puck through past the next election, which will be probably sometime this year, or later this year, and then maybe this whole thing can, you know, people will forget about it and nothing will happen. So I think the government itself is interested in doing it, but I'm not sure that it, given the kind of reaction it's almost certain to run into from the bureaucracy, and particularly the security bureaucracy, and given the fact that an election's coming up, I'm not sure when and if anything's going to be really done.
I spoke yesterday with Thomas Walkham, columnist with the Toronto Star newspaper.